What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network.
Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of NC Zeitess, which is a play on the name of Miles's favorite TV show, courtesy of Johnny Davis. I'm Jack, you are Miles, dealing with some internet issues.
A company who shall not be named, but it's one of the only two most people have access to in the country.
Just no internet. Anyway,
that can't hold us down.
That cannot hold us down.
No,
you are speaking into a Campbell soup can connected to a string. You sound great.
The string is very taut, very taut. Thank you on your side for keeping the string very taut, or else the sound does not travel well.
Yeah, you can pluck it and hear a high D. I don't even know if that's a musical note. Anyways, the things that are trending right now. 25th anniversary of Biggie's passing, his murder. I'm sure this happens every time it's the anniversary of his passing and I go and Google, but I'm still surprised. That man was 24. That was a boy. He was 24.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's wild because what was that? That's 97. I'm like in seventh grade. And in my mind, like, Biggie's might as well be 43.
I mean, he had been married for 3 years, like a damn adult.
I mean, you know, I always look back and, like, I even think about, like, wait, Jimi Hendrix was only, you just think about the 27 club, and I'm like, I'm way older than these people now, and I'm like, damn.
He was 24, Tupac was 25. Like, the amount of impact and just amazing shit that they created in their
lives.
Jack,
what were you doing at? Where were you at 25?
Man, I was 24. I think I was a pool boy in New York City.
Right, changing lives.
Yeah, you know, getting flirted with a little bit here and there.
Okay.
Not to brag, I was very popular with some very lonely elderly gentlemen.
Okay.
I was setting new records as the worst waiter of all time.
Oh, damn. That's like right when I started, getting into politics. I think that was my first year. Yeah. Wow. That was my first year of fully working an election cycle for this lobbying firm. But back then I was joking around look at me. I got a salary.
25, I broke into media by answering phones for ABC News Primetime Live. So this is basically like dropping some classic albums that define an entire century. You know, just get in there.
All that to say, don't be, you know, don't feel down because so many people achieve so much at a young age. We all come into our own at some point, you know, just different times for different
people.
Yeah,
that's the lesson.
Yeah. Or not to be like, why wasn't I Biggie when I was born?
But just like a true fucking genius and just both of them.
Oh, yeah.
So cool.
I don't even want, like, you know, a lot of times I remember for the longest time, people would always be like, okay, you like Biggie or Pac better? And I could never... They're such different propositions, like as lyricists. I think like the energy of Tupac and his, you know, his delivery and his, like sort of the prose of like in which he rapped in is so different than like the clever punchlines of like Biggie, who really like, you know, so many people like truly take Biggie's like sort of whole rhyme style and take it to different levels. But both very talented people. But yeah.
Amazing. Amazing, both of them. Totally different and maybe the best to ever do it at the thing that they do. Like when you compare them to what was happening at the time, like where they were in relation to other rappers. There's a reason Jay-Z on like most of his best albums just can't get his mind past being like, yeah, Biggie was better than me, but okay, but like now that he's gone, like I'm pretty good too. It's like,
what about this Biggie line? How about I rap this one and see if you felt like it? Because that was a thing too. It's like he also took a lot of Biggie's rhymes, and I'm like, which also gave me an added love for Biggie too, because growing up really liking Jay, I was like, you know, I think for me, I was really only listening to, you know, like Ready to Die and a little bit of Life After Death.
Yeah. Oh, but man. Life After Death was... That was my shit.
Solid. That's a solid two-discer right there.
That is a solid two-discer. One of the greats. One of the great two-discers. I mean, that and All Eyes on Me. Come on.
I guess you have to do a two-discer to really kind of let people know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's a... Who's got a two-discer now?
I don't know.
Probably with all these like Spotify, like made for Spotify albums that you see rappers putting out just to get like the listen time up.
Yeah.
Like those are two discers, but they're like, yo, throw the first disc away. Like, please.
So I'm going to have an entire song that's just somebody saying Donda, 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 Donda. So that's one disc. Moving on to disc number two. Ryan Coogler is trending. And
okay, you bailed on that one. I was like, okay, what's the rhyme for the second disc? Nope, going to Ryan Coogler. Yeah, wait, what happened to him? He got arrested?
He was detained by police in January after he was mistaken for a bank robber in Atlanta.
Fuck off. Like, man, let me guess, he matched the description of a black man?
Man, this is not why his name should be trending. Like, his name should be trending because he is the most talented, like one of the most talented filmmakers alive, and like he's dropping some new shit, but you know, truly is a Bank of America.
Super producer Becca saying he withdrew too much money. Of course, what could be more suspicious than the person of color
with lots of money? Me? Wow. Becca's saying he wanted to be discreet since he was withdrawing $12,000 and they thought that was robbery.
Okay. Oh my God. Have you ever... Oh my gosh. She's like, hey, can you be discreet about it? Because the other day, right before my wedding, I had to pull out some cash, and I did not want them saying out loud how much cash I was pulling out, just because they're like, okay, how much do you want in like 20s and 50s? I'm like, yo, keep that shit low. Like, I'm not trying to walk out of here and get to have all this attention on me because I have all this cash. I get that feeling. But then for them to misconstrue that as, is he robbing us?
Right. Well, because here's a robber in a movie I saw once wrote a note on a piece of paper and passed it to the teller. Right, so therefore, that must be what this means.
And you know what? Maybe that's on me. Just everything I've seen in the movies. You know, all the iconic bank heist scenes start off with a person pretending they're an actual customer of the bank, swiping their card, giving their account details. Then the teller verifies that they have that money in their account. And then they're like, nah, actually, this is a robbery. Give me someone else's money.
Right. The note said, I would like to withdraw $12,000 cash from my checking account. Please do the money count somewhere else. I'd like to be discreet. That seems pretty clear. You didn't say somebody else's bank account.
Yeah. So his withdrawal slip with the information, it's not like that's his fucking account. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
Fuck off, man. Okay, well.
Obi-Wan is trending.
People getting a look into it.
So Obi-Wan Kenobi, as played in the prequels by Ewan McGregor, is making a return to a Disney franchise, right? It's like a Disney series. He's going to be
Disney Plus
reprising the role, as will Hayden Christensen at playing the vengeful Darth Vader, aka Anakin Skywalker. So it sounds like it's going to be based on Obi-Wan's time on Tatooine between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, which has always been, in my opinion, like something that makes no sense. This man is a fugitive from the Empire,
right,
hiding out on the planet with Darth Vader's son on it. And whether like he knows that that's where his son is or not, it's at least some of Darth Vader's family, right? Because Luke is like staying with his uncle. So, and Obi-Wan Kenobi is going by the masterful alias Ben Kenobi and lives down the street from fucking Luke Skywalker. It's like one of the worst jobs of being a fugitive that I've ever like conceived of. And they're going to be like, yeah, about that. Let's do it.
Right. There's Duel of the Fates playing, so I'm gonna look. I'll watch it all. I'm almost done with Boba Fett, and I'm not really that impressed with it. I mean, it's fine. Like I haven't like quit watching it, but I will also watch this. Despite all of the, there's a lot. I mean, so many. I mean, like with anything that comes out, every Star Wars fan has some kind of contradictory opinion. But I don't know. I just hear that music and I see lightsabers. I'm like, yeah, we're good. Let's do that.
Duel of the Fates is a musical theme recurring in Star Wars prequel trilogy and expanded universe. It was composed. Well, I know this shit from heart. This is all coming off the top of my dome. I'm just letting any listeners know. It was composed by John Williams.
John Williams, right.
And
right.
recorded for the film soundtrack of Star Wars Episode 1.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Duh.
We all know.
But you're saying that is playing over the trailer for this new show.
When that first prequel came out and that was like sort of the marquee song on it, I was just like, this shit sounds great. It sounds like a very dramatic Star Wars-y song. And like, I haven't really responded to like a piece of like film composition quite like I did that, mostly because of my own Star Wars fandom. I mean, there's plenty of good scores since then. But when I hear that combined with like Star Wars imagery, I'm like, yeah, let's go. Whatever. Just point me in the direction.
It took me a long time to realize that Episode 1 was not one of the best movies I'd ever seen. And I was pretty old to like believe that. I got swept up in the hype and I wanted to believe that shit was good.
You're saying when it came out, you're like, this is it. We're here.
Yeah. Saw it in the theater, was like, hell yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
I was so into that. I was like, yo, this guy's got two fucking lightsabers on one. Let's go. And I think the thing that really was the bar was low was like, we first kind of saw these moments where like Darth Maul was like using the force to like just lift up debris and like fling it at people. And you're like, oh shit, right. The force. And I think the movie tech, like the filmmaking technology kind of kept like caught up with it, what you could actually do creatively. And I think that was a huge contributing factor for, I think, a lot of people being wowed.
Right, because like in the Orig Tridge, like I feel like, were they ever using the force to like do much beyond choke somebody?
Yeah, or like, you know, like Luke was trying to pull his like lightsaber out when he's like hung upside down and shit. Like there's like very basic stuff where you knew this was some sort of like telekinetic, you know, energy manipulation.
But like starting with that shit, suddenly it was like, okay, now I can just birth entire like armies from the sand using the force. I think, because
before
in the
it's like, let me lift this, let me choke this, let me do that. But for some shit to be like, yo, fuck you, I'm throwing this shit at you like with the force, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, and it kind of fucks up the whole universe, right? Because then it's like, why don't you just hurl a star at them? And then you have to be like, well, actually force is a So the force, you have to get into the scientifics. It's based on the amount of midichlorians in your blood.
Midichlorians. Okay. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was using the French pronunciation.
The French midichlorian.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. You said anyway. You were having a debate. But you cut yourself off.
There's like in this one video game where like this character actually pulls down a Star Destroyer with the Force, and it's fucking like, I remember playing the game and I was like, yo, this is the sickest shit. You're pulling a fucking ship out of the sky. But I mean, I don't know if that really necessarily goes. I haven't read enough to know if that goes against the canonical uses of the Force. But again, yeah. Like I said, it's more like filmmaking technology catching up to a point where you can kind of be like, yeah, yeah, we can do that. We can make that shit happen.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the Nosabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Brittany Griner continues to trend. She is still being detained in Russia due to an alleged cannabis oil cartridge.
They're saying she's like smuggling a bunch of like weight too through Russia. I'm like, really? This doesn't seem more like a opportunistic time to hold a like a American who's somewhat well known and potentially use that as leverage for something.
Yeah, it sounds like a hostage.
It's like it's hard to know, you know. Like on some level, I know people who fuck up, and you know, like they're like, "Oh shit, I brought like this like fucking weed pen with me internationally," and you're like, "Yo, you don't want to get caught out here with one of those." I have a feeling, but then at the same time, you can also see that Russia could be like, "Oh, what's this in your bag, significant American basketball player star," and then going that route. But yeah, it's fucking freaky, man. There's two other Americans who have also been arrested in the last couple of years who are still detained there, and Brittany Griner is now counting herself among those people. But for people who are asking, they're like, why the fuck would they be in Russia? It's because she plays like most WNBA players, they play abroad in the off season because it's more cash, and she was playing for a team in Russia at the time,
right? Which is pretty fucked up that WNBA players are not paid enough to do that. Hopefully she gets back safe.
It's just tough, you know, because like all of the traditional diplomatic channels, they're all saying like we don't talk to them at all really right now.
Right.
So not sure, you know, what that means, but I know there's definitely a significant push, you know, like from, I think like, is it Sheila Jackson Lee? I think is who represents Houston and is also, you know, that's where Brittany Griner's from, has been like really like pushing to try and find a way to get her out of there. But yeah, it's still very murky at the moment.
Stephen Miller is trending. So he's fighting, like, as it seems like the full-time job of everybody who is involved in the Trump administration is to try and fight to keep from records being revealed that would allow people to figure out what the fuck they were up to when they were trying to bring back the Fourth Reich. But there's a great detail here that you were pointing out.
Yeah, this tweet reads like, or this headline blurb reads like every other story you hear about people suing the Jan 6 committee, but brace yourselves for, if you didn't think Stephen Miller was sad enough, try this one on for size. Trump White House senior advisor Stephen Miller sued the House January 6 committee to block a subpoena of his parents' T-Mobile family plan, which provides him with a number.
Steven.
So, my man, you're out Steven. Here talking all, given you got all this smoke for immigrants because you say they're a drain on resources. Meanwhile, you can't even pay your fucking phone bill, my guy.
This man is 36 years old.
This man is, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what his age is. his parents' T-Mobile family. I like how though the wording here is that the plan provides him with a number.
Mm-hmm.
Like as if that's different, like rather than being like his parents' T-Mobile plan that he's on.
Right.
You know, like just say that, like because he's on his parents' T-Mobile plan, like which provides him with a number.
Suggests like this is one of many numbers. He's a very important, busy person, and this just happens to be the one where he commits electoral fraud.
Me? Oh no, I don't live here with my mom. This is one of my many places to live. This is just the one I'm at right now. We can go to my other spot later, but
right.
So don't get it twisted.
Yeah, this is just the one that my parents live at and that I bring dates back to because
as a test to see if they're right for me because I'm family oriented.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. But yeah, this is, I don't know what's more like sad if like that's the only thing I can get a laugh out of these days. Like he's on his family plan. He's going to be the new Goebbels. Mm-hmm. Who knows what happens on the comeback tour. But yeah.
Well, hopefully they're seized and hopefully we like see all the other embarrassing shit. that's in there.
It's all tweets from his mom. It's like, I'm sorry, Steven. These armpit stains won't come out of the undershirt. Just try the OxyClean, mom. You're like, yo, these tweets. And it'll be like that I think you should leave sketch, probably, where they're reading right. The texts out in court and it's just the savage right. Shit.
About the hat with the
with the safari flap.
Fedora with the safari flap in the back. And finally, there were a bunch of anti-trans bills passed overnight, specifically targeting children. Idaho, Florida, Texas, Arkansas, Alabama, among others, just basically banning transgender healthcare, which is life-affirming and life-saving in a number of cases.
Oh, 100%. There was also like another headline I wrote about some family that went to go speak to like the Texas AG, you know, pleading as like parents of like trans kids. And then like the next day, like CPS like popped up at their house to investigate them.
Yeah.
Like it's
a war. They're waging war. Oh,
I mean, more than that, I mean, like this is fucking violence. You know what I mean? Like, and I think looking at it as like, wow, they're really harassing these people is, I think, a really charitable view of what's happening, because they're effectively trying to cut off ways for these people to live a happy, productive life, because it just doesn't vibe with whatever their culture war shit is, or, you know, because it's a weak group of people to push around, and not realizing that this is going to lead to like a lot of trauma, harm, potentially death. And, you know, it's hard. I don't understand how people can like sort of look at it and be like, oh yeah, well they're kind of screwed up. It's like, this is, they're really, you know, this is like tantamount to like some kind of like violent genocidal campaign, when you're saying like, we're going to take you from your parent. We're going to split your families up because of this. These people could potentially go to jail. It's like, what, this isn't just about protecting, or it's not just about, it was never about protecting anybody. It's just about inflicting as much damage on this group of people as possible.
Yeah. All right. Well, fuck those people. It's well truly said. Awful. Thank you. I wrote up a little statement / poem. Fuck those people. All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Wednesday afternoon. We're back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Yes. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. Mm-mm. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.